Welcome to The Schmooze with Rabbi Mintz, rabbi at Congregation Beth Israel and co-director of Chabad of Forsyth, Dawson, and Lumpkin with his wife, Chaya. The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at jewishforsyth.org. Now, let's get schmoozing with Rabbi Mintz and his co-host, Tim House, on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN.
Hey, good morning, folks. The Schmooze with you this morning. Rabbi Levi Mintz is here along with myself, Tim House. And Rabbi, we've got a special guest today.
We sure do. A very exciting show for you all this morning.
Well, tell us who we've got, or are you going to keep us on the edge of the seat as you usually do?
Well, this morning we have a new local real estate investor. His name is Dov Lifshitz, and we're very excited to learn more about his story and all of the amazing things that he's doing already and what he plans to do in the future.
That's great. I can't wait to grill you here very shortly. But folks, right off the bat, we'd like to tell you a little about us here at jewishforsyth.org. Is we're motivated by a profound love for every Jew and spurred by boundless optimism. Congregation Beth Israel is dedicated to building community every day through a dazzling array of programs and services to serve the spiritual and physical needs of all Jews from all walks of life with unconditional love and acceptance. Folks, we need to hear from you. Please give us a call or get us on the web, 470-253-7111 or jewishforsyth.org anytime. Rabbi, I know we've got a big show this morning, so we want to start with our guest right out of the gate. Why are you here?
Why am I here? Well, I originally came down here because of the real estate development in this area in Atlanta, which I'm coming originally from Toronto, Canada. And for young guys like us, you know, major city properties have gone up exponentially way too much. So for a guy that's starting out in real estate to do those type of properties, it just became impossible. Over here, the real estate market over here is unbelievable. There's lots of potential to just do an unbelievable amount of real estate over here. So that's why I came down here.
Right. Now, do you develop or do you build?
So we look at properties that are falling apart almost, most of them in South Atlanta. And we find like the houses that we'll buy them, we'll fix them up, we'll buy them on a much lower end, we'll fix them up. We'll get a tenant in there, and then we either refinance or hold on to it for the next 5 to 10 years.
Now, do you just manage the development or the rebuild, or do you have your own companies that go in and do the renovation work?
Yes, absolutely everything. So I will physically go down there. I will meet with real estate agents in the area. They'll show me a bunch of houses. I will figure out if the numbers make sense, and then I will we'll buy the house. We'll bring in our own workers. We'll fix up the house. We do everything in-house. And then management, sometimes we third party, sometimes we don't. It depends on the house. I think starting up, right now it's all going to be delegated to other companies. But eventually, yeah, the goal is to make our own company and to bring everything in-house.
Wow. Yeah, Atlanta is a hot market. And especially if you're in Atlanta city proper or you go south, there's a huge, huge opportunity. What about the apartment complexes? Have you looked into any of that yet?
I have seen a couple of them, a lot of potential on an apartment complex. I'm just not in a place right now to start doing those type of large-scale buildings. In order to do that, I have to develop my own building company. Once I'm there and I have enough workers, enough people working for us where we could do something like that, I'm absolutely interested. The apartment companies are – there's a lot to do in that market.
Right, What about the self-storage? Have you looked into any of that while you've been in Atlanta yet? Because that's a super hot market here as well.
Yeah, I know self-storage because I do it myself.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
No, I haven't really looked into it. I mean, I know some people that actually aren't in that business. That's a different
A different animal for you,
yeah,
all the
exactly.
way around.
I don't know much about it. So, you know, I know that I pay money to it.
Right.
But I personally, yeah, it's not something that's for me.
Well, how do you like the transition coming from I'm going to call it the cold north in places of Canada,
man.
Coming to the south where it's warm and...
I'm so happy. I left Toronto in December. And it was like most probably about a foot of snow. Now you're getting to icy weather. You know, they talk about how... it gets to like -20, -30 in Toronto right now. And they're like, and everybody's like, Is that Celsius or Fahrenheit? Let me tell you, it doesn't make a difference.
When
you're hitting that number, it doesn't matter anymore.
So I noticed you're not wearing a short sleeve shirt today, but you didn't wear a jacket in the 40s, did you?
No.
Yeah. It's, you know, well, we're obviously glad to have you. Where did you wind up settling in at?
Right now I'm in Sandy Springs. I'm renting an apartment right now until I get myself settled. And hopefully next year or so, I'm aiming to hopefully buy a house. We'll see where we go from here. But right now, I've only been here for a month. I'm just trying to figure out my bearings and get everything started. And
well, come north. Come check us out in Forsyth County. Check out a Congregation Beth Israel, and hopefully you'll love it up here as we all do.
Oh, man, I love Rabbi Levi Mintz and the Mintz family in general. I'm very I go back well with the Mintz family.
Oh, fantastic.
Bring me down here. It won't be too hard. I love it over here.
Well, that's good. Anything else, any good words of wisdom you'd like to tell us since you've come down here that you've noticed that have really inspired you? And since you've been in Atlanta or the Sandy Springs area?
Well, what is inspiring over here is that people over here are incredibly nice. And, you know, walking down the streets over here, people go out, you know, people, even just walking, non-Jews, Jews, you walk around and everybody just goes, hey, how's your morning? How's it going? I don't know these people for anything. Coming from a major city like Toronto, even though I know Atlanta is considered a huge city, it's amazing that in a large city like Atlanta, people are like, it's kind of a small town feel where everybody cares about each other. And I think that's an amazing thing about Atlanta.
Well, that's one of the things they've always said about the South is how welcoming they are and how open they are to anybody and everybody. And thank God we haven't seen all the anti, you know, I can't even get the word out this morning, but, you know, the hate for Jews that you see in all across America, we haven't seen much of that here in this area yet.
Thank God.
And thank God,
God
we don't see any, I hope.
No. So far, I've been pretty good. I mean, I've been to a lot of other cities. I grew up, you know, around Toronto. Toronto, you know, Canada's pretty, it's very, you know, we're welcoming for Jews, and I spent the time in New York, I spent time in Detroit and a couple of these cities over there. Unfortunately, that anti-Semitism, you feel it very much. I wouldn't say as much as the European countries, but you know, I think America's a pretty good place for us.
So what can we do for you now that you're here, now that you're your new home's with us? Well, how can we help you, or what can we do for you?
What you can do for me is, if you're so much looking for a job, as in, you know, we're looking for workers, we're looking for investors, we're starting up this company from ground up. So if anybody's interested in doing investments, or anybody's looking for a job that's good nutrition, or like anything that's handyman, we're always looking for these type of people, and that's how you can help me.
Well, give us a phone number so that folks out there that are listening to us on the Facebook or on the airs can get a hold of you.
Fair enough. I do have to apologize. It is a Canadian number. I haven't switched over yet to an American number, but it is 647-703-1395. Again, 647-703-1395. My name is Dove Libzik. So,
and well, try an email too, Dove, because some of these folks, you know, they might be afraid to make that foreign call.
Right. But email's a good idea, actually. That's actually a better way to reach me. My email is Dove, D-O-V, .yhm@gmail.com.
Well, that sounds great, Dove. We enjoy having you this morning. You've, you know, welcome to Atlanta, welcome to Sandy Springs, welcome to Georgia. And like I say, we hope you'll visit us up at Congregation Beth Israel.
Absolutely.
We're very, very loving up there, and we, you know, can't wait to see you again. Folks, I hate to do it. I'm going to leave you on the edge of the seat. We've got to take a break.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
Now, it's time to ask the rabbi.
Hey, folks, glad you joined us this morning on the Smooze. We can't wait to tell you what the next one is. It's Ask the Rabbi. We know how much y'all enjoy that. This morning, we've got a strange question that came to us, but it's kind of interesting, some of the detail that goes in it. Rabbi, the question that came to us is, let's talk about folks that weren't necessarily born Jewish but want to convert. Can they do that? And what's the procedure?
Great question. Absolutely. Not only does Judaism welcome Jewish converts, but to love a convert, one actually fulfills two mitzvahs, two good deeds. The first one, both of them biblically based, the first one is to love your fellow as yourself. And number two is to love your convert. And obviously, we know within the Jewish tradition, over the thousands of years, the contribution that Jewish converts have brought to the Jewish community on every level, from mind, body, and soul, has been incredible. I mean, from the most famous of all converts is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva comes from a family of converts, and obviously we understand the contribution that Rabbi Akiva brought to the world.
Very important.
It's very important. So the answer is 100% yes, and with a full heart and with a lot of love.
What's the procedure, Rabbi? I mean, they just don't walk into the synagogue and say, hey, I'm here.
How does it work?
What are the practical elements? An application process with a fee?
Surprisingly, there's no application and there's no fee. Could you imagine that, Tim? And if there is a
fee, what's the catch?
Exactly. And if there's a fee, you know something's wrong. It's a very simple process. And it's the same process that Jews have been going through conversions for thousands of years. The same way the very first converts converted at the mountain of Mount Sinai. The same way that individuals converted to Judaism during the time of King Solomon, King David, Elijah the prophet, Rabbi Akiva, his family, is the same way that converts go through their process today in 2020. And it's a simple process. Step number one is accepting with a full heart all of the 613 commandments and the Torah. The second thing is, after accepting all of Torah and its mitzvot, its commandments, with a full heart, is immersing in a mikvah, in a ritual bath. If the convert is a man, then he must also undergo a circumcision. Obviously, a woman doesn't need a circumcision. In the times of the Holy Temple, which doesn't exist today, there would be a conversion offering. An offering that was brought in honor of the conversion. Today there's no temple, so obviously that third component is not practical today. So to actually become a convert is very straightforward, and for a person who genuinely wants to convert, it's an easy process. It's accepting Torah and its 613 commandments, and then going into a ritual bath, and for a man, it's having a circumcision.
Well, let's talk just a minute about Sinai, because my understanding is that a lot of the folks that were there at Mount Sinai were not Jews to begin with, but they became Jewish when they accepted these things. Is that accurate?
Yes. So the idea is that we were a family. We were a family until Mount Sinai. With the Exodus of Egypt, what it did is that it turned us into a nation. And at Sinai, it created us to be a Jewish nation. That when we said, yes, na'aseh v'nishma, right, that we will do and we will understand all of Judaism, the Torah that's being given to us, that's when we formally became a Jewish nation. And then thereafter, the process of the way that the Jews stood by Mount Sinai, of accepting Torah and mitzvah, becomes the same standard and process that every convert in the future, when they choose to come and join the Jewish faith.
Well, now I know that in my readings that of old times, I guess during the temple times, that folks that wanted to convert actually had to go in front of the high priests, and then they were questioned. But that's not...
So not the high priest. They would stand in front of the Bet Din, the Jewish courthouse, the Jewish court. And they would stand in front of them, and it's a question, meaning, are you accepting with a full heart all of Torah and all of its commandments?
So again, you know,
and that still happens today. Today, every single Jewish city has a Jewish court, and that's what one does when one wants to go through a Jewish conversion. They stand in front of the Jewish court, and it's a simple question: do you want to accept all of Torah and mitzvah? And then the Bet Din, the courthouse, then looks at the individual. And it's a simple evaluation. Is this person living a life that is a reflection of their words that they want to accept Torah and mitzvah?
Just that easy.
Exactly. And there's no fee.
And there's no fee. And, well, that's great. I'm glad. So, you know, not that we're trying to indoctrinate anybody on the show, but we just want folks to know that there is an opportunity there if someone wanted it.
Correct. Judaism doesn't proselytize. The reason why Judaism doesn't proselytize is because we deeply believe that God doesn't create garbage. right? That every single person is created with a divine mission and a purpose. And that, yes, someone who is Jewish, they have a mission and a purpose. Their spiritual mission and purpose is to fulfill 613 commandments. All those that were created not Jewish is also beautiful and precious and vital in the grand mission and purpose of God, in the reason why the world was created. And through them fulfilling the seven Noahide laws, we are active partners in making this world a better place. Essentially, on a spiritual level, what happens is that a convert on their own says that it's not spiritually fulfilling enough to only do seven commandments. I want 613. And it's from this thirst and this desire, right? I need Passover. I need to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. I need to study the Torah every single day, right? I need kosher in my life. I need the Sabbath. It's from this longing, from this desire that an individual comes from their own and engages in the conversion process.
And we won't even touch on the love, because the love in the Jewish community is so powerful, extremely
100%,
powerful.
100%, exactly.
I mean, you could walk into a room of people you never met, and there's a united a feeling there that this is a belonging for us.
Absolutely. Great question, Tim.
Well, I appreciate it, Rabbi. I'm glad that the folks that sent that in sent that to us this morning. Folks, I hate to do it. We've got to take another break. Stand by.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah. It's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
Hey, folks, we're glad you joined us this morning on The Smooth. Rabbi Levi Mintz is here with us again, along with myself, Tim House. Rabbi.
Yes.
What have we got now?
You know, Tim, we're living in turbulent times. You know, there's an expression that says that the world is shaking. In Yiddish, the expression is, der Welt schuckelt sich. Sometimes the world shakes. And today we're living in a time where what we said never again. All of a sudden, we're noticing that these things that were just words, sadly, are not standing strong. The amount of anti-Semitic acts that are happening, not only in America, but the world over, it's very painful and very frustrating to see. Lives being taken, synagogues being destroyed, people being beaten up in the streets, men, women, and small children. For one reason, because they are Jewish. Right, I mean, think about the amount of money and the amount of programs that we've invested to fight against anti-Semitism since the end of the Holocaust, since 6 million Jews were killed for one reason, because they were Jewish. And all of a sudden, we're noticing that things are happening again. And it's frustrating. And the big question is, what is going on? What is going on and what needs to change? See, the issue is that why is there so much hate against Jews?
That's exactly
now, right. Obviously, this is the question that's been highly debated, highly discussed for such a long time. Possibly there are spiritual reasons for this hate. Possibly there's practical reasons for this hate. But it all comes down to one thing, is that it's difficult for people to love people that are different than them. Jews are different. We look different. We speak a different language. We have a different faith. We engage differently. We talk differently. And for a lot of people, it bothers them. For a lot of people, it bothers them that there are people that are not like them. And the most easiest group of people that look different, act different, feel different are Jews. So the big question is that what is the underlying message of how we're able to love everyone always? Wouldn't that be just the simple solution? Is that if we all loved each other, regardless of our background, regardless of our beliefs, regardless of our skin color, regardless of our height, all of these things, if it never made a difference, if we just loved each other because we all are humans, wouldn't that be the answer? So how do we do that? How do we generate that type of love? And I believe the answer, Tim, is taught to us in our Torah. There's two types of reasons why people love. There's one type of love that is very much dependent on something. It's circumstantial. There's another type of love that is non-circumstantial. It doesn't depend on anything. Most people today, we don't realize it, but we love based on circumstance. If one genuinely reflects the people that they love the most, the people that they're the most friendly with, the groups of people that they feel the closest with are usually groups of people that they have an affinity towards. They feel close towards them. They agree with the way they think. They like the way they look. They find them interesting, so on and so forth. But if people don't fit into that category, meaning think differently or look differently, naturally many people, they walk away. Most people love based on something, on circumstance. And our rabbis taught that all love that is based or dependent on something will always be a love that will never last. It will always end. If I love someone because they're beautiful and the beauty goes away, that love ends. If a person I love because they're so funny and then something happens that they can't speak anymore and I can't enjoy their humor, that love will end. Any love that is dependent on something won't last forever. The only type of love that will last forever is a love that is not dependent on anything. So how do we do that? How does that happen? How do we acquire that love? Right? The ethics of our father teach us that the love between David and Jonathan was a love that wasn't dependent on anything. That love is a genuine and a unique love that will always last, will always endure. The love between Tamar and Onan was a love that was dependent on something. It was dependent on beauty. And the moment that the beauty waned, the love went away as well. How do we attain this love? And this is the idea. If we stop loving people based on the things, the physical, outer appearance of other individuals, but rather the love is motivated by a soulful love, the spirit of humanity, the divine spark within us all that all animates us and is the great equalizer, then we can love everyone. See, there's one thing that we all have that is a great equalizer, and it is our soul. It is the divine spark that animates us. What separates us is our body. All of our bodies are different. All of our bodies function differently. So the question is, what do we value? If we value body more than soul, then we see a bunch of different bodies, a bunch of different people. We see Jews, we see Gentiles. We see people that are tall, that are short, that are fat, that are skinny, that are funny, that are boring, are beauty, that are beautiful, that are ugly. And if we value the body, the materialistic world, the physical world more than anything, then we will naturally come to love some people more than others. But if our love is based on soul, on the divine spark, the divine human spark that is within everyone, and this is what we value more than anything, this divine spark is equal within everyone and everything, and now we can love everyone equally. It's a paradigm shift. It's a paradigm shift of what we value. And the moment we change our focus and we start valuing the divine spark, the spark of humanity that's within every single individual, at that moment, by us having that paradigm shift of what we value, now we can love everyone, regardless how tall, how short, how beautiful, how ugly, how smart, how unintelligent. It doesn't make a difference. We'll love everyone equally. So my dear friends, what's going on in the world is horrible. The answers, there are many. Let's begin with one idea, one paradigm shift. Stop looking at others on their outside exterior look, because that will always divide us. Stop having the value in the physical, because that will always divide us. But let's start having a soulful perspective of all of the world, a soulful perspective of all of humanity, because it's at that moment that it's the great equalizer. We'll all equal, every single one of us, always and forever.
Rabbi, that's beautiful, and I hope people would take heed to that. And the world just be a loving place, because we've got a lot to do as humanity has a lot to do. Folks, I hate to do it. End of the show again. Rabbi, thank you. Dove, thank you for being with us this
thank
morning.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, we'll see you again next week. Thank you.
God bless. L'chaim to life.
The Shmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at theschmooze@jewishforsife.org.